Take your business beyond fast with connectivity and network solutions from Comcast Business. Nationwide, secure, reliable. Powered by the nation's largest gig speed network.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Since the coronavirus outbreak, you might have started turning to online retailers to shop for groceries and other essentials that you usually would have bought in the store, in addition to all the things that you normally bought online, which means that you probably have been using more digital payment services than you have before. You're not the only one, and as it turns out, as more countries go on lockdown, these services are getting used a lot. Our reporter Angus Lowton will join us to explain how that's impacting the payments industry. But first, we're still working from home, you're still working from home, which means we've got another work-from-home tech tip of the day. Senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us once again. Hey, Joanna.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good today. Feeling a little bit more optimistic.
That's very good. It's good to hear. All right. So, Joanna, what is today's tech tip?
Okay. Kateri, pop quiz. What is the work-from-home golden rule?
Put your pants on.
Oh, now I want to change it. Okay. That's what it should be. But I'm saying that the work-from-home golden rule is thou shalt mute your microphone. This seems very obvious, but it's also easier said than done because I've gotten into this same situation where you have a million windows open, maybe 1,000 million windows open on your computer, and you can't find the chat window, which has the video chat going on, and you unmute yourself to say something, then you go back, and then you forget that you haven't muted yourself. So I've been playing around with some solutions to this, and I really like these. And these are some small apps that I'm going to recommend for Windows and Mac that let you mute from wherever you are on your computer. That means you can either set a keyboard shortcut or you can put a little icon in one of the toolbars where you can see if your mic is being muted or not muted at the moment. For Windows, there's one called Talk Toggle. This is in the Windows Store. It costs $2.39. And this lets you set keyboard shortcuts and, again, puts this little toggle, this little microphone icon in your Windows toolbar. On a Mac, I like one called Mutify. This is $5, but unfortunately, that one is not available in the Mac App Store. It's the one I prefer, though. There is one in the Mac App Store that I like, but it's more bare bones. That one's called Mute My Mic. So you want to go search for these in these different app stores. Try them out. If you don't like them, if you find them confusing, don't use them. But I think the keyboard shortcut is game-changing.
So just to be clear, it's in your app store, but you can download those apps and use them on your laptop or your desktop computer as well, right?
Sorry, yeah. So these are all available in the respective app stores on Windows and Mac computers, because both of those have app stores. Many people don't really remember that all of these big operating systems from many years ago all got app stores a couple years back, so it's much easier to get apps through the app stores than go get them on different websites, and also more secure. And one thing that I'd also want to point out is that I did contact the creators of all these apps, and they assured me they don't collect any personal information and no audio from your microphone is being sent anywhere.
Fantastic. We have also been getting tech tips from our audience. What have they been saying?
Oh, they've been saying so many things, and I'm still going through some of my emails and enjoying a lot of them. Our audience tech tip from today is something I've been hearing a lot from people about, which is ergonomics and how to set up your work from home stations in your house where you didn't ever have anything set up. So this one is from Maria Haney in Dallas, Texas.
At home, you might be working on a laptop or you might just be working at a normal desk, and oftentimes those aren't really ergonomic. So having your monitor, you know, whether you're sitting up straight, your eye line of sight should be halfway through your monitor. And I know a lot of people don't do that, and that can really lead to a lot of neck pain. If you don't have, you know, a fancy monitor stand, a stack of books works just fine to raise it up to that level. Even like packs of printer paper work too.
Yes. And I have a video coming later this week about, I'm not even going to say it, but there are so many things you can use in your house as stands. I'm just going to leave it at that. And it's going to be a tip later in the week.
Speaking of which, if people are running into tech troubles, we're still taking questions and stories, right? How can they get in touch with you?
You can email me, joanna.stern@wsj.com. You can leave me a message on our work from home hotline. Number is 314-635-0388. Smoke signals, any way you can get in touch with me.
I wouldn't try the smoke signals. I'm not sure if you have brushed up on your smoke signal reception vocabulary.
I have not, no.
Well, there you go. All right. Thank you, Joanna. Appreciate you as always.
See you tomorrow, or hear you tomorrow.
After the break, if you're doing a lot of shopping online, you're not alone. There is an online shopping frenzy going on, and that has increased the demand for digital payment services. Our reporter, Angus Lowton, will join us to explain what's going on and why it's not all good news for the PayPals of the world.
Comcast Business connectivity and network solutions help drive IoT devices, AI, and virtual network applications at peak performance to improve efficiency and customer experience for your business. Rely on Comcast Business for nationwide, secure, reliable performance powered by a gig speed network. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
A lot of places around the U.S. are on lockdown, and if you're not on lockdown, then you probably are social distancing, which means you're trying to stay out of shops as much as possible. But that doesn't mean that people aren't shopping. They're just doing it online, and they're doing it a lot more. Turns out that digital payment services have been skyrocketing since the coronavirus began, and in some cases, it's basically on par with Black Friday. The question is, can these services handle the increased demand over time? Our reporter Angus Lowton has been looking into this, and he joins us to explain. Hey, Angus.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hanging in there.
All right. So can you give us a sense of what this uptick looks like right now? Why is it happening?
Well, certainly. You've got lockdown in a lot of the major cities now across Europe, as well as the United States, North America. So you can imagine there's a lot more people staying at home. They're ordering groceries, they're getting takeout food, they're getting movies, audiobooks, what have you, and they're buying it all online. Now, that was happening before, but it's now grown exponentially. Most payment processors are pretty used to, as you say, pretty used to certain spikes, seasonal spikes in traffic. They're sort of girding for, and like anything else in this throughout this crisis, they don't know how far it's going to go. They're holding back on some on-demand stuff, extra capacity in the cloud, what have you. Problem is, what they're all trying to avoid is a surge in unexpected traffic, and that threatens to overwhelm their networks, and then we're all in big trouble.
Yeah, I guess it's one of the things that I don't really think about very much. You think about places, you know, like Amazon or Walmart, big online e-commerce sites preparing for a surge in orders. But I don't really think about what a place like PayPal or even, you know, Visa or Apple would have to do to prepare for a surge in payments. It feels like that's not something I've ever really thought about. So what is it exactly that they're doing to prepare themselves for a potential surge?
Well, sure. I mean, the process works. The PayPal, of course, is a third party service, and they're any kind of merchant, all kinds of have pretty much contracted out their payment processing to places like PayPal. As you say, some of the big players like Amazon, Apple, they, of course, have their own in-house payment systems and are fortunately giant tech firms. So you can imagine they have all the resources they need at their disposal, including cloud computing. Amazon is the largest cloud computing provider out there. So they have plenty of room to maneuver. We spoke to PayPal's CTO, and as you say, in the past, they've learned some hard lessons from Black Friday. They planned ahead for a surge, but not nearly as much as sometimes they expected. So they're doing the same thing. They've got a whole lot of on-demand capacity sitting there waiting to be unleashed. The way it works, I mean, so there's the merchant, and then there's a pay processor, which some people might sort of forget about when they pay with a debit card or a credit card at a merchant. What happens is that information through software is sent over to a payment processor or in-house, in the case of Amazon. They take that information, they relay it to the buyer's bank to make sure that they have sufficient funds. When that's approved, it comes back to the payment processor. They then relay that to the merchant's bank to credit their account. and then shoot it back to the merchant to let them know the sale has gone through. And all that takes is about 2 seconds. So the worst of it, and well, maybe not the worst of it, but the first sign that networks are being overwhelmed would be that process just simply takes a little longer. The worst case scenario, of course, is that it just crashes the entire system. And this isn't a hypothetical situation. McKinsey and Company, a research firm, looked at Italy in the last couple of weeks. They were the, you know, they're the hardest hit country in Europe, one of the first to order its citizens on lockdown. And they found an 80% jump in e-commerce just in the last few weeks. So wow. That's what payment processors are looking at and seeing this tsunami and saying, okay, we've got to get ready for this.
So what are they doing to bolster those systems?
It's mostly a question of cloud. It's something they didn't have 10 years ago. So cloud computing is where you rent out capacity from some of the tech giants like Microsoft and Amazon. And that's an on-demand service. So when you need extra capacity, infrastructure, or even software, you're buying it as you use it. Microsoft and Amazon have data centers strewn all around the world. And there's also another third-party service called co-locators where you can rent your own data centers, and PayPal does that. But it's a matter of tapping those resources. I'd hate to see what happens if those resources get exhausted, but there's companies in just about every sector that have been shifting their own data centers into the cloud because it's a lot cheaper and a lot more efficient. So that's about the best they can do to prepare.
Cloud services are also being used by a lot of the other kinds of online services that we are used to getting very quickly. And I'm thinking about the fact that on Tuesday, India's government said that they were going to go on lockdown. That's a billion people going on lockdown. So you can imagine, as especially countries the size of the U.S. or the size of India, as those countries go on lockdown, if we're seeing an 80% rise in e-commerce in Italy, the ripple effect could be huge if, as you say, they do end up kind of butting up against the limitations of the space that they've rented out in the cloud. Are there any kind of contingency plans in place to maybe make more room and adjust room that's being given to other online services?
Certainly. I mean, PayPal and Amazon and Apple and others are able to set aside sort of dedicated network broadband so that it's handling only payments. And as you say, all kinds of online activity is eating into that. But if they can put aside a certain supply only for payments and take other video streaming, what other services they offer that eat up a lot of that capacity, they can at least anticipate and have that supply at the ready if it's needed. Apart from that, like I say, it's unprecedented, so they don't know exactly how much that's going to peak, but they are ready for it to go higher, you know, keep getting higher in the next couple of weeks.
If we look kind of long term down the road, are you talking to anybody who's kind of making estimations about how this event could have long term impacts on e-commerce and e-payments?
Well, yeah. Well, certainly in the payment processing market, you're seeing it's a bit of a split. So you're seeing companies that process for merchants like grocery stores, food delivery places, what have you, that are seeing an enormous spike. Then you've got third-party providers that service places like hotels and airlines, and they're kind of sitting on their hands at this point. So this is weird balance as to how it shakes out for the whole industry. Most of the analysts told me there might be still be a bit of a decline in terms of how well the industry is doing despite those giant spikes, because it's offset by those losses. Even further afield, I heard analysts say that this is giving merchants and other smaller businesses that maybe still use cash a huge incentive to accelerate efforts to get out of a cash market and say, well, look, we should go completely electronic here. And there are some large cities that have banned cashless stores, saying there should always be that option. They might reconsider that kind of legislation to say, well, let's allow companies and businesses to try to run cashless because we can see what the limitations are.
All right. We will be watching. Reporter Angus Lewton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Don't forget, you can share your own work from home tech tips and headaches with us. We are still taking questions and taking your stories. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be sharing her favorite tips and answering your questions every day right here. You can either call the number that we have down below in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. All right. That was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.